Today, we want you to be a part of Team Destiny. And the reason why, the Bible is very clear. I want you to look at this verse now as we go right to our text today. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the Bible makes it very clear. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, that's you and I. He gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Everybody say equip. That's important. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, what I'm asking you to do is to do away with your American concept of what you think church is. Because really, we have a bad theology here in America. We see it as we attend church, we hire a church ministry staff, and they build up the church, they do ministry, and we all come and soak it in and benefit from it. That is not scripture. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's called the ministry staff, he's called those who are called to equip us, the body of Christ, to do the work of the ministry. Let me make it more clear to you. If you're on the team, you're all expected to play. You're all expected to contribute. Everybody's expected to be a part of the game, to get into the battle. Look at this next statement here. I want you to know this. We are all called into ministry. Let me say again, we are all called into ministry. Some lay ministry. Some work part-time. Some work full-time. Some work volunteer. But we're all called into ministry. We got to get out of our mind what we think ministry really is. Because the Bible says that we are to equip the church, all those who are Christian. If you're a Christian today, then you're called into ministry. God expects you to build up the kingdom of God. God expects you to build up your local church that you attend and belong to. He expects you to be faithful. He expects you to give. He expects you to serve. He expects you to contribute. He expects you to get into the spiritual fight. He expects you to pray. He expects you to worship. He expects you to bring it, man. He wants you in the game. He didn't give you the jersey to sit on the sidelines. He didn't give you a jersey to sit up in the stands. He gave you a jersey bought by his son Jesus. We all wear it. If you're a Christian, it's covered in crimson cream, the blood of the cross. And today, he gave us that jersey to be his witness, to be the kingdom of God. Now, tell your neighbor, you better get fired up today and get ready. Because God wants to use every one of us. God expects us to use our gifts. God expects us to use our gifts. And the reason why we know this is because when Jesus was teaching in parables, teaching us about the kingdom of God and how it works and how it functions, one of the most popular parables he ever talked about was the parable of the leader who gave his servants. He said, hey, man, I'm leaving for a while. I'm going to give you some talents. I'm going to give you some treasure here, and I want you to do something with it. So the one he gave five, to one he gave two, to another he gave one. And it said the one with five took it. He took his talents. Some versions say talents, which really means a certain amount of money. But he was talking, I like the word talents because it really goes back to what you and I have, the talents he gives to us. It says he took those five talents, and he doubled it. He invested it. He used it. And he had 10 talents when he was done. And when the master returned, he's like, man, that's so great. Man, you're so awesome. Thank you for being faithful with what I've given you, man. You turned that five into ten. And the guy with two, he said, what'd you do? He goes, oh, master, I took the twos you gave me. I invested it. I used what you gave me. And now I doubled it. Now I have four talents to give back to you. Man, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are awesome. And he went to the one who he gave him one talent to. Look at this story. Let's pick it back up now. Matthew 25, 24. And then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Can you see the laziness already coming out? Okay. He's already using reverse psychology on the one who invented psychology. All right. I knew you were a harsh man. You harvest crops you didn't plant, and you gather crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look here. Here's your money back. But the master replied, you're wicked and really you're just lazy. I mean, how much would you like Jesus to rebuke you? You're wicked and you're lazy. Servant, if you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you at least deposit my money in the bank? At least you could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered to take the money from the servant, the one who had one, take that one away and give it to the one who had 10 bags. That's really fair, isn't it? To those who use, look what it says now, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given to you in abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what they little they have will be taken away. He says, I buried it. I hid it. I wonder how many of us are taking the talents that God's given us, whether it's 1, 2, 5, 10, whatever they are, and we're hiding them. I hid it. Because if I bring it out, I might get hurt. If I use it, people might not like it. And whatever reason, we hide it, we bury it, and we're not using, but to the one who uses what they have, it says God gives an abundance. God, I wish you'd give me more. God, I wish you'd do more for me. God, I wish I had more talents. God, I wish I had more gifts. God, I wish I could have certain spiritual gifts. I wish I could flow with these gifts. Well, what are you doing with the one you have now? Because how you steward the one you've been given will dictate how much more God gives to you and I. How do we use what we've been given? God expects you to use your gifts. He expects me to use our gifts. Listen, we have way too many fans. Way too many fans. We need more people to get in the game. Christianity has way too many fans and not enough people in the game. Everybody's a fan. Everybody's a God bless you. To God be the glory. Oh yeah, first of all, I want to thank the man upstairs. Everybody can give that speech. Everybody can tweet that out. Everybody can put it on their Instagram post. But how many people are actually out of the stands and not a fan? Listen, if you don't know this, Jesus doesn't need any more fans. He's not looking for any more fans. He's looking for followers who will sell out their life to give their life for him. Go ahead and give God a hand. Yeah, that's good. God doesn't want any more fans. He wants followers. Passionate followers who will give their life for the sake of the gospel, for what God wants us to do. Don't just wear the jersey. Get in the game. See, the greatest battle we have in the church is not sin. The greatest battle we have in the church is not political. It's not social. The greatest battle we have is complacency. Complacency. We have too many people who have been Christians for a long time. You've been given the uniform. You've come in. You've gotten healed. And now we're just complacent. We haven't got in the game in a long time. We haven't gotten back into the game. We're a fan. We love it. We'll cheer them on and we'll support. And we come in. We'll buy the shirt. And we'll wear the jersey. But do we get in the game? That's where God wants us. I mean, we have too many people. They come to church when they feel like it. They serve when they feel like it. They'll give when they feel like it. And they never get involved. They sit on the sidelines. No, it's time to get into the fight. The next generation depends on it. Your family depends on it. Your grandchildren depend upon it. Your neighbors depend on it. The community depends on you getting in the game. Serving. Giving, saying, God, I want to use my gifts for the kingdom. Who was on the Lord's side? Let them step up. Let them get in the game. God has given you these talents and these gifts to get in the game. It's time to lay aside your pride. It's time to lay aside our titles. Well, you know, Pastor, I do this, and at my job, everybody calls me boss, or I do this and I do that and I've got this degree and I do this. And listen, it's all great. Use it for the kingdom. But let me tell you, when we come here to serve together, check your titles at the door and pick up a towel and say, God, wherever you need me to serve, that's what I'll do. Check your title at the door. Grab an umbrella when it's raining. Go out and help a single mom get her kids out of the car and get to class. Greet people with a smile. Come down to clean the church and make sure things are in order. Check out the nursery and check out the preschool, the elementary, and the teens, and the greeters, and the coffee shop. We need people serving, shaking, welcoming people. We need section leaders who'll step up and welcome people. We don't need another fan. We need people to get in the game. We check our titles at the door. They don't mean nothing. They don't mean nothing if we don't use it for God. It's about using what God has given us, laying down our pride and saying, Pastor, whatever the house needs, I want to step up and support. Whatever the team needs, it's team first. It's God first. And whatever he needs, I'll step up and do. How can I serve? How can I make this place a better environment where people can come and find Jesus as their Lord and Savior? What can I do? That should be the heart cry of every one of us. How can we get involved? How can we serve? We got to use what God's given us. I mean, come on. We all know people. And listen, I'm not against missions trips, okay? If you have a chance to go on a mission trip, go. They will change your life. They will impact your life. They'll change your life. But, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy as a pastor, and I got people who are friends and family members, and you've seen this. We'll see people who will make GoFundMe accounts on social media asking someone to help them raise several thousand dollars so they can go to a different country and minister maybe to some children over there. But yet they won't even minister to the children in their own church. Pitiful. No, get up. You won't go across the street to the kids aren't going to church anywhere and say, listen, there's a VBS going down here. Listen, you would love our Sunday school class. You would love this, whatever it is. Minister right now where you're at in your community. Don't just look as missions as something in another country. Our mission is every day when we get up, we walk our community. That's where our mission lies. Come on now, tell somebody. He's preaching better than you're saying amen. See, today, I'm putting on my coach hat. Today, I'm talking about team culture. Today, I'm talking about where God is calling us. What is God asking us to do? So many people I know, we come walking in spiritually crippled. For many of us here, we walk in on spiritual crutches. We've been hurt. We've been in the game. We've been hurt. We walk in spiritually wounded, and that's not a bad thing. That's okay. We want you to come in. We want this house to be a house where the spiritually wounded can come in and get the therapy they need from the Holy Spirit. They can come in and receive the healing they need. They can come in and receive what God's wanting to do in their life to restore them. Some people come in, they've been hurt by somebody else. They've been rejected. You've went through a bitter divorce. You've gone through abuse. You've gone through bankruptcy. You've gone through so many rejections in your life. You've been hurt by people. Many times you've been hurt by a church. You've been hurt in ministry. Let me tell you, anywhere there is human interaction going on, the chances are you're going to get hurt at some point in your life. Sad to say. It shouldn't be that way. We would think, but boy, I would attend church and never get hurt. Eventually, someone's probably going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you that. So we come in, and spiritually, this is the way we look. We're spiritually wounded. And we walk in. The Bible says that Jesus said that it's not the well who need the doctor. It's the sick. And so the church should be a hospital, allowing sick people to come in, spiritually sick people to come in and receive spiritual therapy from the Holy Spirit. So we come in, and we go into the trainer's room, and we sit down. Why do you go to the trainer's room? If you're hurt in the game and they send you to the trainer, that means you're no longer, you can't play. You can't play. As of right now, you can't play. Go to the trainer's room, begin to work on your injuries. You know, when I was touring with my son Landon, many of you know he plays football at Missouri State, and when we went to the different places to look at the colleges, one of the things they said at Missouri State and other places, they said, this is what we do. They'll show us the training room. They show us all the doctors there and the therapists there. They show us how advanced they have on the medical treatment. And they say this. They say, if your son goes to there, we can't make him play. We won't make him play. We can't. We have no legal power to make him play. We can't do anything until the trainers clear him or clear her, whoever it is, until they're cleared by the trainers before we're allowed to let him practice again, before we can ever let him back into the game again. Do you think they are motivated? Why is that? What do you think they have? What do you think they have therapies and they have full-time doctors and therapists on their staff? Because they got a lot of money invested in those athletes. They're paying their way through school. And for many schools, it's a lot of money over a course of 4 or 5 years. It gets into hundreds of thousands of dollars. Paying for their education, paying for their room and board, paying for their meals. And so they want to protect their investment. And so they're going to hire the best trainers to come in and work, give them therapy, to get them ready. Why? Because they want their investment that they paid to get back on the field and back into the game. Think about that. Think about the investment that the Father did for you and I. He gave His Son Jesus to sacrifice His life. He paid the ultimate price. He gave His life that you and I could be healed and back into the game. What Satan tried to do in the garden, God brought right through His Son Jesus and placed a place where you and I can come in and receive healing. He wants to protect His investment. He wants you and I back into the game. But the problem is this, we don't sit here, you know, these athletes don't come into the trainer's room, get cleared to go back to practice, to get back into the game, and they don't come and say, you know what? Nah, I think I'll just hang out here for a while. The AC's on in here, it's hot out there on the field. I think I'll just chill in here for a while. They play my favorite music right here. This is a lot more comfortable than running those sprints out there or running those bleachers and out there sweating. I think I'll stay in here a little bit longer. How many think the coaches would be mad if they found that out, right? Would they doubt the commitment of the players if they found a player was doing that? Why? They brought them to get into the game. See, the Father expects us to get back into the game. Many of us here, we've come in, we've been hurt. Life has dealt us unfair cards sometimes. Sometimes we just blew it, hurt ourselves because of our own stupidity. We've done that. It's okay to come in and say, you know what? I need medical, spiritual medical attention. I need God to heal my heart. I need God to do some physical therapy on my heart and my mind and my life. And if you allow Him to, He'll begin to renew your mind, renew your heart, renew your strength. Because the Bible says those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. He'll come in and bring healing to your life. But He doesn't heal us to stay on the bench. He wants us to get up and get back in the game. How many of us have come in and, man, we've been hurt. We get healed, then we never get back into the game. Listen, it's time for you to get back into the game. It's time for you to say, Father, man, thank you for healing me. Thank you for rehabbing my heart. God, thank you for bringing back spiritual strength to me. Now, I want to take some steps to get back. Listen, when they come back, they don't just jump right back in. They come in, they ease them back in. They get eased back in. They just start practicing, maybe half a practice. Or they start running, just short jogging and walking around while others are running full speed. And then gradually, they get back into it. I'm not saying you got to jump in head first if you've been hurt on the sidelines. But get off the bench and start walking. Get off the bench and start contributing. Get off the bench and join the team. That's why God gave His life for us to do the work of the kingdom together. It's time to get back in the game. Turn to your neighbors and get back in the game. Time to get in the game. God is doing this. We expect, let me just give you some culture here, okay? This is the culture we expect here at Destiny Church, and we make no bones about it. We want to make it very clear. We expect every team player, that's you, if you're a Christian and you say, Destiny's my home church. We expect every team player to grow, to give and to serve. We want you to grow. We expect that you'll grow spiritually. We encourage you to grow spiritually. We're going to train you to grow spiritually. We're going to challenge you to grow spiritually. We're going to say, you know what? We got to learn to give. We want you to give of your time, of your talent, of your treasure. We want you to give your offerings. Be obedient to the word of God. We don't make excuses for that, because you'll live blessed when you learn to do that. It unlocks the kingdom of blessing in your life. So we want you to grow. We want you to be blessed. We want you to grow, to give. And we want you to serve. Get in the game. Find a place to serve. Be somewhere where you can make a difference. We expect everyone to make this a spiritual culture. We expect everyone to make this a spiritual culture, to love God, to love others, and to teach them to do the same. We want you, if you don't know this, the Bible says we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with everything within us. He wants us to love God with everything we have. So we want you to fall in love with God, to learn to love God completely in your life. We want you to learn to love others, because he says the second greatest thing is to do what? He says to learn to love your neighbor as yourself. So we want you to learn to love others, even those who don't look like you, those from a different race, those from a different social climate than you, maybe those from a different political party than you, whatever it is. We want you to learn to love others, and then to teach others to do the same. Teach them to do the same. Teaching people. See, it's a cycle. Learning to love God, reaching out, loving others, and teaching them how to love God and how to love others. It's a culture we're reaching here. It's a culture that wants to reach the lost. Look at this now. It's a culture that wants to reach the lost. Our culture is, we want to reach the lost. People who have never accepted Jesus, we want them to accept Jesus Christ. We want to take as many people from the four state areas as we can to heaven with us. We want to make sure that our culture is one that reaches out creative ways to reach people. Ways that are going to grab their heart. Ways that are going to bring people in. We're called to reach people. We're called, listen, I need you to help. We gotta have an exciting culture here that makes things exciting and welcoming. Environment where the people who are hurting, the people who have blown it, can be healed and not judged. It's a part of you. You gotta do that. You gotta make it happen. You gotta create that culture. You create it from the time you get out of your car, to the time you get in the building, to the time you leave. You're helping create this culture. It's a welcoming culture. It's a healing culture. We're believing. I said it last week. Let me make it very clear to you. We're believing in 2019 for 200 salvations. 200 salvations. How many believe we can have 200 salvations in 2019? That won't happen without you. It's not going to happen unless we do it together as a team. That means I've got to be always thinking about it. God, help me see like you see. God, touch my eyes that I can see people like you see. God, help me to see the coworkers that need, I can get with me. Coworkers I can bring to church. Who's the family? Who's the neighbors? Who is the people I'm meeting that I need to be bringing them? At the very least, bring them to church with me and let Pastor Gene teach to them. And let the Holy Spirit get a hold of their heart. Come on now. We can't. Inviting should be our culture. I mean, let me say this to you today. Can you imagine what would happen if every one of us here would just reach one person this year? If every one of us here would just reach one person this year for Jesus, can you imagine the impact we would have? Let me say it this way to you. I double dog dared you. I quadruple dog dared you to make us go to three services. I dare you to make us go to three services, because you're bringing so many people, and people are coming and giving their life to Christ, that we have to start a third service. How many think that would be awesome? Come on now. Because we're running out of space. That would be great. I double dog dare you to make us do that. I've already told our staff, prepare yourself now. Prepare your leaders right now for three services. We're going to expand our leadership. We need more people serving. We got to get more leaders. We never outgrow our leadership. So let's start growing our leadership to a point where we can handle a third service when God sets us time. But you got to partner with us. We can't do that unless we do it together. It's a culture. We're creating a culture that welcomes people that are hurting in, that welcomes anybody that walks in the door. They're going to get smiled at. They're going to get a handshake. People are going to tell them, I'm glad to see you, and they mean it. It's just a culture of people saying, man, we're glad you're here. And we really mean it. We want you to come and join. Hey, you've been coming for a few. Why don't you come and join our men's group? Why don't you come and join our ladies' group? Why don't you come to our DC group? Why don't you come and join our youth group? Why don't you come and do something, be a part? We want you to see. It's a culture that we all have and take the place. See, when 200 people give their heart to God this year by faith, are they going to be one because Pastor Gene preached a great message? No, no. See, when somebody comes in and gets saved, they did that because earlier in the week, somebody was down here cleaning the church, getting things put back together, picking up the trash, fixing the chairs, cleaning the bathrooms, making sure the thing smells nice. So when they walk in, if somebody was out in the parking lot greeting them, somebody was shaking their hand, somebody held the umbrella when it was raining and helped them into the church, somebody helped them check their children, and somebody watched their kids in preschool and taught their kids in elementary and brought their teenagers to have a place where they can come and know Jesus. Somebody brought them, there was a worship team that was practicing throughout the week, a band that was preparing so they could bring us to the throne and bring in, usher in the presence of God when we come together. And when someone comes and raises their hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. It was a team effort. We all contributed to that. It wasn't one person. It was all of us working together. And so it's going to happen when we all work together. Listen, it's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to get off out of the therapy room. It's time to say, yeah, you know what? Once a month, I can serve. Once a month, I can serve one service and attend the next service. Or I can attend the first service and serve the next service. Once a month, I can do that. We have several people here who are doing that. But we need more. We need more. I need you to step up. Come on now. It's teamwork that makes the what? Dream work. We have a dream. We have a dream to reach as many people in the 4 state areas we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are needing to know that the Holy Spirit is real, to empower their life, to change their life. And we can't do it alone. It's a partnership. We do it together. We create the culture together. You create culture. You make it a welcoming place. You serve all around today. The back of the auditorium, on the sides, in the foyer, we have places you can go to say, you know what, I want to sign up and find out more about serving in this area. I want to sign up and find out more about how I can attend this area and get involved. We need you. We need you. We can't do it alone. It's time. If we're going to grow and go to the next level, we got to raise our level of commitment. We got to raise our level of giving. We got to raise our level of serving. We got to raise our level of culture here and continue to bring it up and say, you know what? We all contribute to that culture. And we want you a part because you're welcome here. And you're a part of us being here. We wouldn't be here today unless people like you are here serving and giving. But come on, we need more. We need more. We need more people. Come on, we need more. We need God to raise up an army of people who have one mission in mind, and that's at any cost, we're going to win the lost in Jesus' name. Amen? Do you believe that? Stand on your feet this morning. As you stand on your feet, I want to ask you just to quickly bow your heads. I don't want you looking around. Just let me listen to me today. Some people here today, you say, Pastor, I need to get on the team, but first of all, I just need to get on God's team. That's where it all starts, right there. The Bible says if you haven't done this, you need to do it. It says you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Pastor, I've never confessed Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I've never confessed Him to be Lord. And today, I want to make that first step. I want to get on God's team. I want to make sure that I believe in the power of the cross, that Jesus gave His life on the cross for my sins. And today, I want to walk with my sins forgiven. I want to put on that jersey that says forgiven, a child of God. Today's my day, Pastor. I want to be a part of this. If you've never prayed that prayer today, and today you want to make that your prayer of your heart, we won't do anything to single you out, I promise, or embarrass you. Without anybody looking but me, can you just raise your hand and say, it's me, Pastor? I want to join those. Thank you. Yeah, anybody else? You want to join those? Thank you. Yeah, I see those hands in the back. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. If you haven't raised it one more time right now. Let me see it. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to say this prayer. If you raise your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll stay with you as well to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess I need you as Lord of my life. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family. God, come on, give him a big hand clap. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, after we dismiss our service, we have a free Bible and some other things we want to put in your hand. You can pick that up back here at the hub to my left as soon as the service is over. But first of all, how many say, Pastor, I'm ready to get back into the game. I'm ready to get into the game. I want to get more involved. I want to serve more. I want to give more. I want to grow more. Come on now. It takes all of it. How many say, I want to reach the lost at any cost. God, give us a burden for lost souls. God, give us a burden to reach people in Jesus' name. Let's put aside our fear. Say, God, we're going to surrender to you.